So today we're going to continue talking about stewardship and our process about the things that we own and the things that we have in our life. And last week we started with talking about the law of first fruits. And we see that in the Old Testament as the Israelites came out of captivity in Egypt. And were on their way to the promised land. They were given a set of laws. The Ten Commandments were part of those laws. But there were many more than just those ten. And as you read in Leviticus chapter 23, God not only gave them laws about what they should be doing, but also ways for them to remember what God had done. And so there's these festivals or these parties that are put in place to help them remember. And so we talked about that last week. And the idea of the first fruit is the standard by which Israel then is supposed to then give and remember. When they come to have these parties, these festivals, they're to come bring these offerings, and they're supposed to be their first fruits, the first fruits of their field or of their animals, and to come and bring those and not bring their seconds or their thirds or their fifths or their whatever, but to bring their first fruits. And that was a standard that Israel lived by then. And so then the New Testament kind of helped us understand that we should then lead this same way of life. When we worship God, just like Israel worships God, we should then bring our first fruits. And then we should then ask the question, who are we? Do we belong to the people of God? Do we consider ourselves children of God? And if we do we believe that all things that belong to God? And if we do, then the answer is the same as it was for Israel. When we come to worship, all things belong to God. And It's not a fun thing to talk about, especially when we love the things that we have. And so my first thought was, is that the fan or something? All right. Holy Spirit is moving. Does the Scripture actually say all things belong to God? That's a good question. We should know the answer. We should know the answer to that question. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 14 says, to the Lord your God belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and in the world and all who live in it. And if you're worried that the New Testament didn't say the same thing, it does. Hebrews chapter 2. Everything belongs to God, and all things were created by His power. So then, what does everything mean? Everything? Everything I own? Everything I have? Everything that I see? Everything I can touch? Is that everything? Yeah. Does that mean that I need to give it all back? Do I need to allow Him to have it all? Yes. The idea of first fruits falls into this understanding of all that we have. That we, when we come and we offer things to God, we should bring our best to Him of all the things that we have, all the things that we own. A lot of times when we begin to talk about this, we see people, they, begin to worry about, well, what does that mean? That I gotta be poor to believe in Jesus? That I can't have anything to believe in Jesus? I don't want Jesus to be in my stuff. I want my stuff to be separate. I don't want to have to worry. I want my God to be over here, my stuff to be over here. I don't want all this stuff to blend together. But the reality is it all belongs to Him. You are just the manager of the things that you have. You are not the owner of those things. Just work on a budget for 5 minutes and you realize you don't own the money you have. The people that you owe stuff to owns the money that you have. You can try your best to hold on to it as long as you want, but eventually something's going to get cut off. Your phone, your TV, your house, something's going to go away if you hold on to it long enough. You don't own it, you just manage it. So this idea then that all things belongs to God, when we have stuff, we are then managing this stuff that we have. And then when we manage the stuff that we have, we need to understand that part of that needs to be a way for us to remember what God is doing. The first fruits, the stuff we talked about last week. The first fruits of all the things that we have. So then why do we need to even talk about it in this conversation? All the stuff you have, all the things that you own. When you come to church, one of the biggest criticisms is people always want the stuff that I have. Why do I even have to help at church? Now, if we do call ourselves followers of Jesus, if you do say that about yourself, good. Now, as we read scriptures, we understand that the church is the vehicle by which Jesus is ushering in His kingdom. And then if we believe that, then we don't need to neglect His church. Now, I'm not talking about this building. This is part of us, but this is just a building. The church is actually you. The church is me. The church is my children and your children. The church is found at my home and at your home. The church is found on my street and on your street. So if we decide as a group of disciples, the people who say they're following Jesus, that's the definition of a church, is a group of people coming together and following Jesus together. Now if we decide to buy a building, to centralize our lives together, then we work together then to support that life together. And that's something that we decided. Now it decided way before most of you guys were around. I mean, we bought a building in like 1924, 25, and that building was downtown on the corner of Veatch and Yosemite. Some of you went to church there. Who went to church on Veatch and Yosemite? A handful of us left. Now it's just a dance studio. It's the Universal Dance Studio. That's the old church building. Then in 1970, or they took a while, but it took them the mid-60s to finally build this building. So before you ever showed up, we decided to be centralized in this location. So we then worked together to keep this up and manage this, but also manage ourselves. To work together for each other, for my children, your homes, and my home. Now, we could also decide to be a group of disciples who decentralize our lives and organize ourselves around our homes, then we work together to support that life. And there are plenty of churches that do that. They don't own buildings. They might rent one. But even if they don't, they meet in their homes. That still happens today. It's not as common as it is to build a structure, but it still happens. And if you decide to be a part of that kind of decentralized life together, there are things that you have to do to support each other, to support the mission that God has given us. So that means that we then support our life together. We support the church. No matter how it finds itself manifested, we support it with all that we have. And that's what it means when all things belong to God. There are plenty of people who manage their lives for themselves only. And the world is full of that. Plenty of people who have lots of money, who don't donate a single penny to charity. The scripture talks about how God allows it to rain on the holy and the unholy. It rains on all of us at the same time. And blessings happen when it rains. Your crops grow. Even if you don't always follow what God is doing. But when God has called us as a group of believers to come together, there's a set of standards. There's something going on when it means for us to live together. We use our whole lives to support what God is doing in our midst here. We lose our whole lives to help each other make disciples. I mean, that's ultimately God's goal when He said, I'm going to change the world with this little thing called church. Now, when they started in Acts, there wasn't a building. They met at someone's house. I mean, they had to get together somewhere. They did continue to go to the temple and pray together. That did happen. But ultimately, their goal was to make a disciple, not build a building. They helped each other deal with hardships. When you come together with your whole lives together, we help each other deal with hardships. We see each other when things are not going well and when things are going great. And when things are going great, we celebrate with each other. The successes and those moments of joy that we have together. We have birthday parties and people get raises. We celebrate together. With our whole lives, we celebrate with each other. Now, this means that I should offer my whole life as a sacrifice to God's purposes. Now, I can use my finances to do that, but I can't talk about this week because Jesse's got to preach next week and I don't want to ruin his sermon. Hopefully, I'm not ruining it today. Am I? Yeah, all right. But I can use my talents, my giftedness, as an offering, as a sacrifice. What I'm good at, what I can do, how I can come along and help. We are all useful in the kingdom of God. Nobody's unuseful in the kingdom of God. And that's the beauty of the kingdom, is that we all have potential. We'll get to that in a second. So not only can I use my talents and my giftedness, I also can use my home, my material possessions, all the things that I have should then be available to this kingdom that God is bringing into the world. It should all be available. Sometimes that gets tiresome. One of the most annoying things I found about being an intern, when I was an intern at a big church in Georgia, was I was the intern with the pickup. Which means I had to move everything. And so, Stephen's got the pickup. Call Stephen, he can move it for you. It wasn't just borrow my pickup. That's not that bad, because then I'm not moving it. No, I was the guy that moved the stuff because I had the pickup. And all the other interns had Toyota little cars. So all of our possessions should be available. We should hold them as available to each other to begin to serve each other in this kingdom that God is ushering in. Which really gets me to the scripture I'd like to read to you today. I should have told you at the beginning. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. As Jesus walked through His ministry, He often described the kingdom of God in different ways. And this is one of them. He says in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 31, He says, He told them another parable, Jesus telling the people that are listening, His disciples and those around Him. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. So he describes the kingdom of God. Now, the mustard seed is not now known as, it's not the smallest seed. There's other seeds that are smaller. But a mustard seed is very, very, very small. Very tiny. I thought about getting one for everybody, but then the idea of putting one mustard seed in a Ziploc bag and that just... Boom. I said, no, I can't handle that. That's way too tedious for my capacity. So I did not do that. So just imagine yourself with a tiny little black dot. And then take a little pen and put a dot in the middle of your hand. You got a mustard seed. Mustard seeds are very small. But when they grow, they're technically a bush, but they're a very large, that's why they call it a tree. It's a very large bush. It's pretty unruly, about 6 or 8 feet tall, out of some very small, small, tiny little seed. And so as Jesus is talking about the kingdom, he's describing this idea, a few things. The kingdom is going to come in this small package, and then it's going to explode into, you know, what it ends up doing is conquering the world. That's one thing going on here. But there's this idea also of potential. If the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is in you, then you have the potential to move the kingdom of God on down. Every one of us has the potential to be a church. Every one of us. And we all have the potential to pass that on to others. If we carry the DNA of the kingdom of God in us, then we are just like the mustard seed. We then can carry that on and plant us somewhere else, and then we then grow into the kingdom of God again. And then they're just planted again. And then we grow in the kingdom of God. It's over and over and over again, this idea that every one of us has the potential to be the church somewhere else. That the kingdom of God grows around us and it expands. It should be then something that we teach to our children, that they have the potential in them to be the kingdom of God. And it's beautiful to have our children read Scripture. I love that, you know, Jim has got a couple of our young guys out there handing out bulletins. I mean, it's just, we continue to pass on what God is doing in our midst. We teach those who have come to us as new believers. Maybe they're not children. Maybe they're new believers. That they carry in them the potential of the kingdom of God. Now, there's a reason why it's only potential. Because you can have that seed. You can ground it up, put a little bit of vinegar and water in it, and squirt it on your sandwich and have mustard. And it doesn't grow into anything. It's just mustard. I think you have to put a little yellow dye number 37 too, I think. I'm not sure. I don't think mustard is actually yellow by itself, but it becomes potential. It's only potential because it needs nourishment. It needs planting. It needs growing. It needs to be able to have water and nutrients. It needs to have the things that it needs to grow. So the plant needs water and food and all those things. We need from Jesus nourishment and encouragement and life together. We need those things. That's what it means for us to be together and plant the kingdom over and over and over again. We learn about Jesus. We need our nourishment. We need growth. You need to be put nourishment to work. That's what it means to come together and share things together. We share our talents. We share the things that we have. You put the things that God has put in you to work. That's growth. You don't start out a small little bush and then call it done. It's got to get to a point of maturity so they can then produce more seeds. Which ultimately is what happens, is as you get nourished and as you grow, ultimately something happens. Things change. The bush puts out more seeds and it can create another multiple number of bushes again. For us, we then change. Something happens in us. We view our stuff, our body, our mind, our entire life. All that stuff changes because we begin to see that the kingdom of God is in us. And no longer is the stuff we have belong to us. It belongs to God. He's the owner of all things, and we are the manager of what He gives us. So what do you own? What do you believe you own? You know, a lot of times we hold things back because of fear. Fear of we might run out. Fear of we don't have enough. Fear of things that may come to pass that have not yet come to pass. That's the idea of fear. We're afraid of something that hasn't happened yet. What things in your life would you say are off limits to God? Yeah, I see that you say in Scripture it all belongs to you, but I will hold on to this. Thank you very much. This idea of potential and this idea of growth, I mean, it only takes a little bit to get started. I mean, Jesus, in another place in Matthew in 17, He talks about the mustard seed again. The tiny little seed. He says in verse 20 of Matthew 17, He says, Because you have so little faith, He's replying to something going on. He says, truly I tell you, if you have a faith as small as a mustard seed, You can see this, say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing is impossible for you. For me, that begs the question, and what is immovable in your life? What do you believe is just absolutely, I cannot do it, it's impossible? Just a small amount of potential in that mustard seed. Jesus says nothing's impossible. And what needs to be released? How can your talents, your abilities in this life change the kingdom of God and move it forward? How can it change the life of the people around you in this congregation or in your neighborhood? How can God use your talents and your abilities in this city? What's going on in the city around you that God can use you? I mean, we hadn't even talked about money yet. And there's so many things running through my head of going, well, I'm pretty stuck on that. I'm pretty stuck on that. I really wouldn't give that up. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in my head. So I decided to write down some potential areas for us, things that are kind of common to us in this congregation, maybe some things that are outside of us as well, but a few questions for you. Can you visit someone who's sick? Can use your time to go and sit with them and pass a little bit of the kingdom on to them. Can you teach a child about Jesus? We just sent them out of the room to go learn. I mean, something Jesse's been yelling at people the last couple of weeks. Can you clean the facility? Actually, people signed up last week. Pretty awesome. Can you cook a meal for someone going through a difficult time? Take it to their house. Tell them that you love them. God bless them. Can you meet with someone regularly to talk about their faith, encourage them in their growth in Jesus? That's just discipleship. Just sitting down and just talking to them. Can you help plan events? Can you meet your neighbors and develop a relationship with them? Can you open your home to a group of people to come study the Bible together? Can you volunteer at the school down the street or somewhere else in the city where you spend some time sharing love with people? I know in some places you think, oh, I can't talk about God in a place like that, but you can talk about God without using words all the time. Can you lead a Bible study? Can you fix something for those who can't fix things or can't afford to pay someone to do it? Can you climb in a ladder 20 feet in the air and change out a projector? Can you care for the poor? Can you care for the orphan or the widow? Can you care for the marginalized, those people who sit on the edges of our society? All of this is great stewardship of the things that we have. And that's it. We haven't even talked about our finances. You have the potential of the kingdom of God in you. I have the potential of the kingdom of God in me. What I don't want to be true about me is that I let that potential be lost because I'm afraid to let go of something. Romans chapter 12, and you guys can come if you want. In Romans chapter 12, Paul is talking to the church in Rome about a lot of things. Romans is a pretty heavy book. But chapter 12 is when he turns from the theological conversations to more practical conversations. And basically he's saying, when he says the word therefore, it's the first word in the chapter 12, he says, in light of all the stuff I've just been talking about, how God loves you, how God has come to die for you, how your sin is bought by His blood, and how your faith in Him is what it takes to follow Him. All of that then, he says, therefore, in light of all the things that I've said, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. He goes on later to use that body as a metaphor to what it means to work together in the kingdom of God, to work together in a congregation, about how we all need each other to be together, to move the kingdom down, expand the kingdom into the world. So this idea of body, this is not just my physical body. It's everything. Because God, as Psalm chapter 24 says, God owns it all. He's the creator of all of it. And we should be open to what God is saying to us. So what is God saying to you today? About the potential that you have in your life. If you are a regular giver here at the church, you should have got a letter today just telling you about your annual giving. And in that letter, I talked about just the things that are happening in our church moving forward in 2014. And we've had some success putting together some structures around what we were doing, and we want to continue that in 2014. And all of that is dependent upon our potential with each other. Where am I going to engage the kingdom of God here? Where am I going to engage the kingdom of God where I live and where I work? Well, I can't manage your home. I can't manage where you work, but I am a part of the process here. What potential does God have for you in what you can do for the kingdom of God? So that's what I want to pray for us now as the band's going to lead us in our closing song. What potential do you have? Because we all have the potential of the kingdom of God in us. Let's pray that we continue to not let that potential not be realized. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you give us. God, we acknowledge your words in Scripture that all things belong to you. God, we acknowledge that the things that we have, the life that we have, the places that we live, the jobs that we have, the hands and the feet that we have, that they all have potential. That you've given them to us to use in your kingdom. God, I pray that we would not sit idly on our hands and on our feet. But we'd be encouraged to see where the potential will take us. To see where this small little mustard seed can take us. God, so show us where we can serve you, whether it be here in this building teaching kids or planning events, Father, or if it's somewhere in our neighborhood or at a school in the city or at our jobs. God, show us the potential that we can move your kingdom forward. That we would understand, that we would come to you with open hands, knowing it all belongs to you. And when you show us that thing or that ability that we have, that we wouldn't be afraid, that we wouldn't be paralyzed in fear, that we would move into that place and we'd allow it to grow and ultimately transform our lives. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and gave the ultimate sacrifice of his life, so that we could even be having this conversation. God, we praise you with all we have and all we do and that with all that we are. We pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.